Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands, skies and waterways and pay our respects to all elders past and present. We pay our respects to the world's oldest continuing culture.
Hello everyone, my name is Pano Apostolou and you're listening a podcast from SBS Greek. Today, dear friends, we are joined by someone who carries a double memory. The memory of serving the community and the memory of serving the Australian uniform. Steve, or Anastasios Kiritsis, is a Vietnam veteran, has spent years of documenting the contribution of Greek Australians who served not just in the Vietnam War, but also in the First and the Second World War. 2025 is the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War, and that was the main reason we invited Steve to be with us today to talk about that and some other, a little bit more personal questions that we have prepared for him. Steve Kiritsis, welcome. Thank you very much for being again here in our studio for SBS.
Thank you, Pano. I'm happy to be here to say a few words about the Vietnam War, the history of Vietnam. It's 50 years since the end of the Vietnam War.
Before we go there, I would like to go from the year zero, the ground zero. Where were you born and when did you move here? Why? A little bit about your migration journey, Steve. Okay.
Well, I was born on the small island of Nisiros, on the Dodecanese Islands, next to the island of Rhodes. My two older brothers migrated to Melbourne around about 1955, and they loved the city of Melbourne, and a request was made to my parents to join them. After a long discussion, my father and mother, we decided to migrate to Melbourne in 1959.
What was the reason that your brothers moved to Melbourne?
Okay, after the Second World War, very little work in Greece. As you probably know, many Greeks migrated to America and, of course, quite a few more to Australia. That was the only reason. There was no work. When they landed here in 1955, there was lots of work. And they thought this is a place to be.
Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Yes. Just Melbourne?
Just Melbourne.
Where was your first home, Steve?
Our first home was in Drummond Street, North Carlton. My brother bought a house, a very nice house, and he still got it. He still lives in there. So that was back in 1962, I think it was. We lived all our lives in North Carlton.
Mm-hmm. Work? What did you do?
Work. When I returned from Vietnam, I met my future wife, Mary. We were married in 1971. We started our own business at the time, a milk bar. Mm-hmm. Hard work, 7 days a week in North Carlton.
In
Lycan Street, North Carlton.
When you arrived here, you were very young. You continued with school, education.
I did, yes. When I landed, I finished grade six. Mm-hmm. And then I went to high school for a couple of years, and to be honest, I didn't like school. I learned a trade. I found work at Hoyts Theatres. After a while, they decided to send me to RMIT in Melbourne to learn the trade to become a projectionist, like a film operator. And I did that for 3 years, part-time. I've got my license as a fully film projectionist.
So you're an artist? Because you see the world differently, not through the lens or through a different perspective.
I have to say I love the work. I've seen many movies at the time, big movies, as you know, The Sound of Music, Oklahoma, and many others.
Have you made any movie?
No. Not good enough.
When did you decide to join the army? I mean, what happened?
Okay, Vietnam really has never enjoyed peace. And if we go centuries back, the Chinese were there for a very long time. The French took over. After the Korean War, there was a Cold War, as we know it. Mm-hmm. In other words, communism.
Between West and East.
Correct. Was becoming very big. China, Russia. This sort of created a bit of uncomfort for the Allies, for the Americans. After the Second World War, a young man became very interested in politics from North Vietnam, a communist. His name was Ho Chi Minh. Now, Ho Chi Minh always wanted to unite Vietnam as one communist country. Mm-hmm. Of course, the French were there. To cut the story short, at the United Nations, they decided to split Vietnam, north as a communist and south as democratic or non-communist. Mm-hmm. Ho Chi Minh wasn't happy with that. And this is when all the issues and troubles began. And, of course, America moved in the early 1960s. Mm-hmm.
But the French were there. They occupied the country.
Correct. They weren't happy. But the United Nations made a decision that North will become a communist. And, of course, South Vietnam, Saigon at the time, was a communist city. Yeah. When Australia got involved in the Vietnam War, it's fair to say their defence forces weren't as strong. The Menzies government decided to introduce national service. In other words, conscription. So every young man at the age of 19 and 20, they had to register to serve 2 years in the army if their number came up. So don't forget, it was like a barrel, like a test lighter, where all
lottery,
correct, where all the numbers of the young men were placed in the barrel. If your number came up, you were in the army for 2 years.
And your number
and
came up?
And my number came up.
What was your number?
3789296.
Do you remember what you felt?
I started the army around about early July in 1966.
What did you feel when you heard the number?
As a young man, we thought it would do us good. I mean, war wasn't on our minds. But we thought training, meeting other young people, other young men, travelling all over Australia, I thought, it would do me good.
But you knew that you were going to participate in the Vietnamese campaign, yeah?
It was on my mind that one day we might travel to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did that scare you back then?
Not really.
Not really?
Not really, because many did not serve in Vietnam. Not everybody goes to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And not everybody went to Vietnam, even though you were in the Australian forces. The only thing that we did know at the time, when we finished our training, and we end up in a unit, an infantry unit, and if that infantry unit was sent to Vietnam, you were in it, you had to go to Vietnam. But that we didn't know at the time, because we had no idea which unit we're going to end up with, so we had to wait for a year and a year and a bit.
How much did you wait until you...
It was about a year later.
What year is that?
That was about 1967.
67. No. So 67, it was your first time in Vietnam.
Correct. Around about the middle of 1967, after extensive jungle training up in Queensland, we were told that my battalion, the 3rd Battalion, the Royal Australian Regiment, would begin a tour of South Vietnam in December 1967.
And it lasted for how long?
Our unit was in Vietnam for 12 months. That's a standard time in 12 months. But because I went to Vietnam with 6 months remaining from my 2 year service, mm-hmm. I returned back home in July 1968.
Did you ever return to Vietnam?
Never.
Never. 68.
68.
How did you feel with the result of the war? Was it relief?
Nobody can say war is good. The civilians, the people suffer. Civilians die as well, not only the soldiers. The children suffer, losing their parents, the siblings. It's fair to say war, it's something we can do without.
Can we say that the war didn't stop there, but the war continued here, in your mind, in your memories?
Correct.
Everything.
It took me 30 years after receiving a phone call from one of my mates to march on Anzac Day. And I returned back home in 1968. In the year 2000, I accepted the invitation to march on Anzac Day, and that was in the year 2000 for the first time.
For the first time.
And I have to say, that really began my
involvement
with the RSL, with the Shrine, and all the Returned Servicemen's League of Australia.
Were you open to discuss your experiences in the Vietnam War with your mates, your family, your children, your relatives?
No.
On purpose?
I think Vietnam veterans, similar to other veterans from different wars, they don't talk about their experiences. They don't talk, and that's bad, because I found since 2000, by opening up, I felt like, hey, this is better than holding it inside of me. And I have to say, it didn't stop. As you know, my Vietnam book, I began searching in 2005 to find out how many Greek Australians were in the Vietnam War. And that really was just an amazing beginning of being open to everybody, you know. It was amazing.
It was more than 100 Greeks, eh, in Vietnam?
120, actually, just over 120.
How many are still in life today?
I have to tell you, a few have passed on. But I do keep in touch with the majority, Christmas and New Year, a phone call, a Christmas card. It's good to be in touch, yes.
From your research on Greek Australians who served, what surprised you most? I'm not talking about the number, there were like more than 120, but as a pattern of life, did you see them becoming better people, being successful, being more involved with the community?
I found most of these veterans do not wish to be involved within the community. Even though I interview many when I start searching for the Vietnam book, a lot of them did not want to participate in the book. They didn't want to tell me anything. And I can understand that. I did understand that. I wasn't pushy. I left it up to them to tell me whatever they wish. A lot of them did not take part in the book. And a lot of them, if you saw the book, if you read the book, there's only about four lines, where they were born, when they were enlisted, and when they came back from Vietnam. Very little.
What was the biggest lessons for you serving the army, being part of the military machine of Australia?
I think we've become very mature. I think any young man at the age of 20 or even 21 goes through a war. I think they mature very quickly. They become different people altogether. And upon returning home at the age of, say, 22, they're like a mature, you know, 30 and 40-year-old men. And that's a fact.
I'll read you four words, and I want you a comment. Hero, trauma, duty, respect. Which one do you feel closer from all of this? Hero, trauma, duty, respect.
I think the last two, duty and respect, is the right words. We are not heroes, really. We were sent to Vietnam to a war by the government. We did our duty and we came back. And we are proud to say now, we are returned servicemen.
Did you get enough respect for what you did?
Why did you ask me that? Because
because you didn't commenting on that word.
We did not receive respect, and that's a fact. You might not remember, but back in the 60s, a lot of demonstrations here in Melbourne. Dr. Jim Cairns, I don't know if you heard his name, he was organising marches, anti-marches, anti-Vietnam marches, because I thought it wasn't correct. And, of course, returning home after Vietnam, we landed in Sydney about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock midnight. Pano, there wasn't one person from the government or from the army to tell us, welcome back. you did a good job.
Even that was the same government that sent you to Vietnam.
Correct, correct. Mm. So if there was one bitter memory that we have, or certainly I have, was landing at Sydney Airport after 11 at night without anyone to greet us. Welcome back. Job well done. None of that.
Today you feel that you have received this respect in the last 50 years after your return, 50 plus years?
I think things have changed. Mm-hmm. I think people have changed. They realise, they understand it wasn't our decision to go to war. To be honest, they looked upon us as
heroes.
Well, not heroes. No. Don't use the word. The hero, to become a hero, is you have to do extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. And they appreciate. Yeah.
Do you think the fact that you and your mates started to share your stories helped the people to understand the atrocities you've been and also like the psychological impact the war had on you throughout the decades?
There are many veterans suffering from a lot of mental post-traumatic stress disorder, as you know. The events that you go through in a war, it doesn't come back to your mind straight away. It comes back years later, 20 years later, 30 years later. And I know many veterans which have suffered this PTSD.
Steve, if there is one image from Vietnam that never leaves you, which one is that?
We had a battle, our first big battle. It was at the end of January, early February 1968. That's when the Chinese were celebrating the Lunar New Year. They took advantage of that period to try to capture Saigon. Our Australian base was near a small town called Berea. Further away, there was another small town, which was called Long Dien. A lot of the enemy gathered at the town of Berea to capture the town, and we were given orders to stop them. Our unit advanced to the town of Berea. Even from the outskirts, we knew something big was going to happen. Mm-hmm. As we enter the town, there were snipers everywhere, trying to fight the enemy with civilians wandering in the streets on the roads of the town was something very dangerous. We could see the enemy, but then again, we had to protect the civilians. Mm-hmm. That was a great risk set upon us, not to be shot, not to be killed. But we had no other intention but to aim at the enemy and not the civilians. And that was a very, very, I won't say the word scary, but a very uncomfortable position to be in.
Was there any particular music that you were listening while you were serving in Vietnam or in the army? English, Australian song or was it Greek?
Well, the song, I was only 19.
It's an Australian song?
Australian song, very, very popular. Mm-hmm. We loved that song.
Yes. It was about the story of a 19-year-old boy?
Yeah, it's like conscription, when they call you up. Yeah. It was related to the conscription. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any Greek songs?
No. But I did a silly thing. Now, when I look back, when I was there, I decided to send a letter to the Greek radio station, Odeon, back in the early 60s, mm-hmm. That radio station was next to the Greek Community Centre now, on the corner of Russell and Lonsdale Street. My letter to the person in charge, I said, look, I'm in Vietnam. I would love you to play a song to my mother. They did found one, Mana Manula Mulika, the Sixichnao. It was played, and I believe all Melbourne was crying.
That was in the 1960s?
Well, 1968.
1968.
Yeah.
Do you listen music today? Do you like to listen to music?
I like the Greek music. Very much.
Any favourite singers?
Not really. All pretty good. You know, Parios is good. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of good ones. Yeah. I love Greek music.
Any message you have for the younger generation? The Greek Australians, having so many experiences in your life, so many years of serving the community, writing the history of dozens of Greek Australians that served the army, what is your message? What is the legacy that you would like to leave behind, Steve?
I think young people, no matter where you are, they should do at least 12 months training in the military. I think when they finish, they are different people altogether. You learn discipline. You learn a trade if you wish. You learn to do a thing yourself independently, washing your clothes, ironing your clothes. Go hungry for a day, you know. When you're out training, you don't get food out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on biscuits or cheese, that's all. So my message is, if the occasion comes up for any young person, say 18, 20, they can join the army, the defence forces. It'll be the best training any young person can have in their lifetime.
Would you do that again?
I would do that again. Question to you. Have you served in the Greek army?
I've served the Greek army for 12 months.
There you are.
Steve, is there anything else that you would like to add for our listeners?
I think we should respect. I can tell you there are at least a couple thousand Australian servicemen serving in peacekeeping areas. Because even though there's no war, there are servicemen and women serving a country in peacekeeping areas, such as Cyprus, for instance.
Of course. Steve Kirizi, thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure, Panu, and thank you very much.
Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.